than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his name. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be this old world affords today. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do
Thank you, Mrs. Garner, for that. Well, it's our joy to introduce to you our special guest today, Evangelist Bob Holmes. Now, if you'll listen carefully, you'll be able to understand him in spite of his Boston roots. Okay? And he preaches a little bit differently than Southern guys because every now and then he's got to stop and ask a question to get affirmation from you to know he's doing all right. Okay? So go ahead and give him that affirmation and encourage him. We're glad that he's here today. Brother Holmes, thank you for coming. God bless you.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I'll try to sound like y'all do down here. Okay. I believe that what I'm going to do in the next few minutes is the Spirit of God is going to point his finger on why so many people are departing from the truth today and going to error. Error. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this service. God, I pray that you'd speak to every heart in a special way. And God, help me to say just what you would say if you were here. And take the truth and change lives with it. In Jesus' name, amen. I never dreamed in a million years that I'd be playing all these games. The honest truth is, I was shy growing up. I couldn't even speak to one person. But how many believe when the Spirit of God comes in, he can make a change? I heard somebody say once, you ought to be so filled with the Spirit, if a mosquito bit you, it would fly away singing, "There's power in the blood." But I was very, very introverted when I was growing up and never dreamed that God would call me to do what I'm doing today. But I want to be like a lawyer today, and I want to build a case. In fact, a lot of sermons are just like that. They're lawyer, but the biggest evidence we have is right here. This is where the evidence is. And I want to speak on, and I want to build a case today that only followers of Christ are the true Christians. I want you to listen to this. The word Christian is thrown around like the word means nothing today. Tell a pro ball player to accept Christ so we can get God on his side to win more games. That's not salvation. So I wasn't expecting that from an athlete. Or tell somebody that they just want to kick the habit of something and use Jesus to kind of develop wealth and everything else. And one lady even said, "I pose in Playboy magazine because it draws me closer to God." A Christian is a Christian, a Christ follower. And I believe this with all my heart. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they, the followers of Christ, shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. How many believe Jesus is worth following? Coming after him. In other words, being like him. John 10:4. "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." John 10:4. Turn to Matthew 25, and I'm not going to have you turn to a lot of passages because I want to give you all of what I have here without necessarily turning to everything. But we're going to see a description here in Matthew 25 describing a future day when true Christians are going to be separated from the fake. And I want you to see how he describes the fake versus the true Christian that's going to be separated from the sheep and the goats. Of course, the sheep are the followers, the goats are the fake. And I want you to see how he describes the separation. In Matthew 25:32, "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Now he describes the sheep, the followers. "For I was a hungered, he gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." Why? Jesus did all that, and the Christians will do that too. Read further. "Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? Or when we saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me." Now he describes the goats. "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Don't let any modern day pastor say that hell is just separation from God. Hell is everlasting fire. "For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink." He didn't care about following Christ. I was a stranger and you took me not in, naked and you clothed me not, sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall he say unto them, also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or a thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these who don't want to be like Jesus shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Works does not save one soul, but when you get saved, you want to work for him. Because we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ suffered for us, listen to this, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. There were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. These false prophets follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom way of the truth shall evil be spoken of. Pernicious means they cause death, serious injury, or a pernicious virus. They cause great harm. Do you know what? When a person is a true preacher and a true Christian, he follows the Lamb. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God, 3 John 11. In the last book of the Bible, it says, I looked and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. They did not have 666 in their foreheads. They had the father's name. So these were the redeemed saints. Now listen to this. They sung as it were a new song, and these 24,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. How many believe Christians are Christ's followers? It is so clear in the scripture, be followers of God as dear children. Now, what am I seeing as I travel the nation? God has allowed me to be in front of a lot of people, 3 million people. And what I'm seeing is the lack of Christians. What I'm seeing is people using that term like it's just throwing around confetti in a wedding. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus deserves better than that. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Jesus is my very life. I am in Christ. Now, nobody who follows Buddha says I'm in Buddha. But a Christian, how many of you believe for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? How many believe God answers prayer? Raise your hands. I was praying for a motorhome. Back when my girls were 4 and 6, now they're 24, 22, and 7. I'm starting my life all over again. And I was praying back when my girls were 4 and 6 for a motorhome. God had begun to open up hundreds of schools, and I began praying for a motorhome. A man in Oregon called me on the phone, and he said, I understand you're trying to offer hope to the second generation. I said, yes. He said, do you have any videos of what you do? I said, I sure do. I sent him a video. He got the video, and he loved it. And he called me back on the telephone, and this complete stranger from Oregon said, if you'll get a one-way plane ticket to Portland, Oregon, he said, I want to give you a new motorhome I just purchased. I said, would you repeat that one more time? He repeated again, and I said, I feel led to come to Portland, Oregon. And I got off the airplane, and a young man with 5 kids handed me the keys to a $50,000 rig, and I'm driving that across the country saying there's only one explanation to this, God answers prayer. And how many believe following Christ is exciting? But he is our very life. He is our very existence. Now look right at me. Everybody in the balcony, everybody look right at me. I want to quote to you a quote that I heard from one of the most popular Christian singers in America. I avoid church talk and cliches. We need to be born again without using those buzzwords. You don't need the buzzwords to be a Christian, like born again, Lord, and Jesus. A song doesn't even have to mention the name Jesus to be used of God. And so here is an album that is called Change Your World. The album has 2,819 words in it. It made number one on Christian charts. It was called Change Your World, and the name Jesus appears zero times. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow. How many believe his name is not a buzzword? How many believe his name ought to be adored and we ought to say, thank God, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, but this Christian rock group is filling up the arena and they're reaching them. What are they reaching them with? Tom, you drive by that sign, you ought to roll down your window and say, praise the Lord, not contemporary. Boy, it got quiet on that one. His name shall endure forever, Psalm 72:17. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him, and all nations shall call him blessed, Psalm 72:17. Don't tell me it's a buzzword. Our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. You cannot change a world without Jesus. Be it known unto you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. Amen. And whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Let me tell you something. To the lost, I want to preach Jesus is the way. To the lonely, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. To the child, that he's the father to the fatherless. And in the public schools, he's not a curse word, he's my Savior. To those addicted to drugs and alcohol, I want to preach Jesus as a deliverer. To the brokenhearted, he's the one who came to bind up the brokenhearted. To the deathbed, that he's the resurrection and life. I'm glad for the name Jesus. And then, oh, we don't need to use the term born again. Jesus said, you must be born again, but let's bow down and let's worship the gospel singer. Because, ooh, the gospel singer is filling up the arena. And the old-fashioned preaching isn't doing it, and the hymn books aren't doing it. So let's just wipe it off the slate. Let me tell you something. I'm glad. I feel liberty here in this church. I'm glad there's a man of God up here. Well, he's just up in years, and he's going to pass off soon, so we'll just accept it from the next guy, and we'll make sort of changes a little bit here and there. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad for the Bible. It's not a man's philosophy. It's God's truth. Christians are Christ followers. Don't tell me it's just a saying a little prayer. I'm a sinner. Commit in my heart. Amen, amen. Now go live any way you want. You said the prayer, just like the Catholic says Hail Mary 50 times. Ooh. Here's another quote. I know if I'm too blatant about my Christianity and talk about Jesus, I won't succeed in the mainstream. But hey, I'm not an evangelist. I'm a singer. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. You say, what's a convert? To open their eyes. Look at me. To open their eyes. This is what salvation is. Look at it. To open their eyes and to turn them. Say, turn them. From darkness to light. From the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness. We better be careful in our soul winning that we say, are you turning from Satan to God? Are you turning from sin to a holy, righteous Savior? Or are you just saying this prayer after me? Converts! How many believe we need some converts today? You say, what's a convert? It's when you convert. You once wore a black suit, now you've converted to a white suit. If you convert from a Panasonic to a Sony, that means you change from a Panasonic to a what? Everybody. Sony. If you convert from a Chevy to a Ford, you are what? Stupid. But you convert. Have you been converted? Not have you said a little ditty. Have you been converted? Have you been stopped in your tracks? where the Holy Spirit stopped you and you said, I'm guilty. Said, we need some gospel tracts written that say followers of Christians. Now, I've never seen a gospel tract that says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. They don't follow the liberal trends of the day. And you say, why are a lot of people leaving the preaching and the truth of the Word of God? No matter what it says, who cares what the Bible says? I see it this way. It doesn't matter whether God says to come out from among them and be separate. I'm going to do it the way I think it can be done to accomplish what needs to be done. Wait a minute. We don't compromise the Word of God to reach people. Well, I just believe that this, who cares what you believe? Another quote. Ready for this? You're going to always have those very conservative people who say you can't do this, can't do that, can't drink. Wait a minute. The Bible says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. Wait a minute. The Bible says, look not upon the wine when it's red. Does God matter? How many believe God matters? Amen. God matters. In fact, here's a girl right here. Let me just show you this. I use this in the schools. It's powerful. Here's a girl right here. Her name is Jackie. She didn't drink, but she got hit by a drunk driver. And Jackie, when she got hit by the drunk driver, was in an automobile accident where the car was all messed up, just like an accordion, smashed up. And two of her friends died in the car accident. She lived but burned for over 50 seconds before they could put the fire out. They finally got the fire out and got her out. She went through 45 corrective surgeries. And all they could come up with after 45 corrective surgeries was this. 45 corrective operations, the same girl that you just saw on the other poster, same girl, and now this is what the drunk driver did. And here's the drunk driver right here crying out, why did I ever drink? I was foolish. And now I've killed both of her friends and caused her to be burned like this. And his heart's broke and he said, how could I have been so stupid? And here's Jackie today. Not everybody who gets hit by a drunk driver dies. I think God loves us when he says, don't drink. I think God loves us when he says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. I think God knows better than the world does. How about you? And this is used. I use this in every public school. How many would like this to be seen in all the schools in Arlington? Oh, but this Christian singer says, don't follow these negative preachers who preach against drink. I go to the public schools and they clap when I say it. But yet Christians are criticizing the negative preachers. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. If we're a Christian, we follow everything God says, even about booze. Well, you need to be open-minded. No, I need to be Bible-minded. Every man that hath this hope in him, listen to this, purifieth himself even as he is pure. Why? He's pure. I should be pure. I should want to be more pure because I'm following a pure Savior who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. How many believe Jesus is still spotless? Are we followers of a spotless lamb or not? Are we? Why would a whole youth group bring condoms to a youth conference then in case they'd meet a girl? Why is it that purity doesn't matter nowadays? Why is it that a Christian singer said it's fun to flirt while she had her hands all over a guy she wasn't married to on her video called Baby Baby, which made number one on Christian charts? If purity doesn't matter, why would I be in a Bible college going through the hallway of a Bible college and see a monitor on a TV monitor in the hallway with a Bible professor standing there like nothing was on the screen at all? And I looked up the screen and I saw a lady gyrating and showing parts of her body that only her husband should see. And I said to the guy, the Bible professor, what's that? He said, that's the Christian MTV. It's called ZTV. I said, that's filth. How many believe we're following a pure Savior? There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, but are not washed from their filthiness. Why? Because they're not Christ followers. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing. Well, I'm just going to go where I can feel comfortable. Well, become a Christ follower, and you'll be glad that the preacher preaches. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. We haven't joined a club or a society here. We have joined a church that believes in what God says, and we just want to announce it. We're not following just some program here. We are a Christian. We are a Christ follower who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you're healed. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This man went down to his house justified. Have you ever been broken before a holy God? Here's a sign on a church, no hellfire here. You won't be referred to as sinners. Our goal is to make you feel welcome. Won't be referred to as sinners? The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. How many are glad he came to save sinners, or you would not be here? If you're glad he came to save sinners, I mean, get excited about that. How many are glad he came to save sinners? He didn't come here just to be in some contemporary church where they don't even talk about sin. Listen, a person doesn't become a convert until they understand they're separated from a holy God. They are sinners by birth and need to be transformed. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Why did Jesus leave the glories of heaven and come down here to seek lost people? Why did he take the mocking to seek lost people? Why did he leave the diadem of glory to wear a crown of thorns to seek lost people? Why was his back beaten 39 times to seek the lost? Why was his beard pulled out to seek the lost? Why was he spit at in his face to seek the lost? And churches that say we don't talk about people being sinners ought to read their Bible, because when you're a Christ follower, you follow the Bible. Right? Well, you ought to be thankful you're in a church like this. Any ministry that doesn't call people to deal with sin is not from God. Now, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. We're not dealing with some people that just prefer a different type of worship service. We are dealing in our generation with people that don't want the preaching of the Word of God specifically. We want one. I got three letters in 1 year. The first letter said, when you come to our church, preach conversationally, not loud. Then I got another letter that said, when you come to Canada, don't preach loud, because we Canadians will think you're trying to Americanize us. Then I got a letter from the Bible Belt of the South that said, when you come down south, don't preach loud, because we don't like loud preaching. So I opened up God's letter. And how many believe this is the letter that ought to matter? Cry aloud! Spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show people their transgressions. So I said, maybe I ought to read this letter and just put the others in the trash. My pastor got a letter after he preached really on sin at a wedding and at a funeral. Listen to this letter. I was one of those two people who raised their hands to be saved. During the last 4 to 5 years, I've come to understand intellectually that the sacrifice Jesus made for me, but it was not until your message that I fully understood with my heart the weight and burden of sins that Jesus willingly took to the cross. I was horrified and deeply ashamed and humbled beyond words. I am like the debtor in Luke 7 who owed 500 pence. I was forgiven the most. And I want to comment on your message on the evils of fornication and alcohol during the wedding. I wondered why you spent so much time on those two sins when you could have spoken a more scatter approached message that would have offended far fewer people, since most of the group likely engage in one or both of these sins. Then I realized that what you were telling the truth, no matter how uncomfortable it was to hear. You are not trying to win a popularity contest, you are fighting to save souls. I deeply appreciate your caring enough about me as a stranger to fight for my soul. Can you imagine how many of the nation's ills would be cured if people stopped engaging in those two sins alone? Here's Christians should become like the world, said one guy, to win the lost. If it includes looking like a prostitute, a drug addict, a homosexual, so be it. How do you know what kind God accepts anyhow, while he picked up his finger and made an obscene gesture while at the same time he was talking about being a God's child? The promoter of this concert had a spike through his tongue and one through his lower lip, a ring in the nose and one in the ear, and a tattoo on the side of his mohawk-shaven head. And his associate's pastor, who stood beside him during the interview, had shoulder-length hair, combat boots, and so on and on and on with tattoos. And the main thing they were trying to say is not that we're saved out of darkness and into his marvelous light, but we can copy the darkness while we're trying to spread the light. And can I say something right now? You can't mix light and darkness. They're two separate things. And when the light tries to copy the darkness, it puts out the light. Let me say that again till everybody's shouting amen. When the light copies the darkness, it puts out the light. I'm in a roller coaster, and I'm playing volleyball, and a guy comes to my volleyball court, and I would play and then preach. And then one guy came to my court dressed in black, and he had that evil look, heavy metal chains. He looked like Marilyn Manson. And I said to the guy standing next to me, pray that he gets saved and realizes that God's power is greater than the devil's. And how many believe that's true? And I prayed, and I said, let's pray for him. He said, he's not a Satan worshiper. He's part of one of the Christian bands over here. And then it struck me that we've come to the place now where Christians think they even have to look like a devil worshiper to have some kind of power to get the gospel out. I am called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I am following the light of the world, not the darkness of the world. I am following one who said, I am the light of the world. How about you? How many of you are following light? Boy, I want to tell you, we're in a generation where following Christ has nothing to do with salvation. Nothing to do with it. I have sent these prophets and they ran, but I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. If they had stood in my counsel, they would have caused my people to hear my words. Then should have they turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I not a God who's at hand? In other words, aren't I a God who cares about specific things that are happening now? Oh, I just think that it doesn't show love. Listen to me. The preachers who don't warn us as families. The preachers who just smile all the time and never thunder out anything are really the ones who hate you. And I'll tell you what they love. Let me show you what they love. They don't love you. This is what they love. Are you glad for a faithful pastor? Who follows the Lamb? Was this my Bible? Did I bring it down here? NIV? Whose Bible is this? Okay. Now, are you a Christ follower? I am a God who's at hand. I'm a God who's behind Jeremiah saying, everybody's neighing after his neighbor's wife like fed horses in the morning. I'm behind that. Follow. I would follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. I would follow on. Follow. I would follow Jesus everywhere he leads. I will follow on. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Isn't it interesting? We preach so much on salvation is not by keeping the commandments, but we never quote that verse. How many believe everything Jesus said is important? If I had time, I would do this. I would like to conclude the message. It takes about 6 minutes to do this. And I cannot remember, Pastor, if you said to stop at 12 or 10 after, or 5 after. Okay, I'm going to close with, it'll take me probably till 5 or 7 minutes after at the very latest. Turn in your Bible to James 2 and let me show you something absolutely amazing. Now, I'm going to do it rather quickly because of time. And by the way, I want you to come back tonight. I've got part two tonight. How many will try your very best to come back tonight? Raise your hands real high. Don't miss tonight's message. Now, look at this, James 2:14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? What he's actually saying is, can faith that never causes works really save a man? Can somebody say they have faith and could care less about following Jesus really be saved? That's what he's asking. So he gives an illustration. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith. In other words, if you go to a man that has no clothes and he hasn't eaten and say, God bless you, what good is your God bless you unless you feed him and clothe him, right? So what good is your faith? What good are you to say you have faith in Christ if you're not following Christ and wanting to come back Sunday night and Wednesday night? Well, I'm in the South, and it's the typical thing to go to church in the South. And I wouldn't be respected on my job if I wasn't a Baptist going to church every week. I'm not asking you or trying to get your good image up. I'm asking you a follower or not. Are you a follower? Now, so watch what he says. Even so, faith, verse 17, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. In other words, if your faith never makes you a follower, that faith is all alone and it hasn't accomplished anything. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Now, Satan has no good works. He believes, though, doesn't he? Do you know, according to verse 19, there is such a thing as the devil's belief, yes or no? Now, if you're with me, I'm going to prove to you that how many would agree that the devil's works are all evil. Now, go to John 3:16 for a minute. I'm going to show you that every time God uses belief, a little bit later in the passage, he talks about works. And let's go to the most familiar one where you probably could quote it backwards. John 3:16 is often called the gospel in a nutshell. Look what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, say it to me everybody, believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But the devil believes, but he trembles. So how do we know this is saving belief and not the devil's belief? Because it says he won't perish but have everlasting life. So if he has everlasting life, this is saving belief, right? But every time you see saving belief, you'll see a little bit later in the passage the subject of works. Let's see if it's true here. Go to verse 21. But he that doeth truth, he does something about the truth, he gets saved, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Deeds, works, follow. You see that? So don't say John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell. Say the gospel in a nutshell is John 3:16 through verse 21. How many believe everything God says is important? And so we see the subject of belief, we see the subject of works. Go to John 5. John 5, go up a couple chapters. Let me show you another place. There are four places I'm going to try to do in 3 minutes. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. So it's talking about saving belief and not the devil's belief, because it says you have everlasting life. But a true everlasting life believer is a Christ follower. Is it true here? Do we see the subject of works right after we see the word believe? Let's read further. Don't stop where Jesus didn't stop in his discussion. Read further. Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, I have to skip a few verses for the clock's sake, and I'll go down to 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. How many believe everybody's going to come out of the grave one day? They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I want to do evil, so I'm going to go over here to the contemporary church where I can feel comfortable doing my evil. Okay, become a follower, and you may come back to the right church. Well, they got more programs for our youth. I'd rather hear the word of God than have some activity to the roller coaster. Right? They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. In other words, the person who is a goat, who isn't saved, who isn't a follower, wants to characterize his whole life with evil, and he's going to be raised out of the grave to be damned to hell forever. See, you see the belief, then you see works being discussed. Am I right or wrong? Now, go to Acts 19. I've got 2 minutes. Help me by turning quick. Acts 19, 17. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver, and so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. What happened? The people believed, but it was saving belief, and they saw that the books they were reading, and in our day and age, they saw the internet sites they were going to was not godly, and so they stopped going to them. Because now they were Christ's followers, and they were following Christ, and they burned the books that were against Christ. I can go to two more passages. I have about 60 seconds left. Let's go to an Old Testament one just for the fun of it, because we looked at all New Testament. Go to Jonah 3. And by the way, I think preaching the Bible is the greatest thing in the whole world. Because you're going to go out of here saying, we didn't hear Holmesism, we heard God. And how many believe what God says is what matters? Okay, so go to Jonah 3. And what did I do? I built a case like a lawyer that a Christian is a Christ follower, not a Bible-going person in a Bible Belt area to gain respect in the community. A Christian in Trinity Baptist Church is a Christ follower. And not a Pastor Smith follower, but Pastor Smith would say, follow me as I follow Christ. How many are glad he follows Christ? So follow him as he follows Christ. Now, look at Jonah. Where are we in the book of Jonah? Chapter 3 and verse 5. All right, we'll just look at two verses, and then we'll pray. Okay, it's kind of like a mixture of preaching and teaching here, but I think that it's good to get the truth. So I'm skimming through here. I didn't have the Bible marked. I'll be in Jonah very, very quickly. Okay, Jonah 3, verse 2. I'm sorry, 5. So the people of Nineveh believe God. Jonah preached in Nineveh. We say a great revival happened. But there's Satan's belief. How do we know this was real revival and belief that was real? They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Now come down to verse 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Isn't it interesting? You see belief, and then you see works again. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Is it a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast? But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Because now the person who has come to grace is a Christian. He is a Christ follower. Therefore, the works change. Now, you better shout amen, or I might preach another hour, and you won't have lunch. How many believe this is true, what I preach today? Well, let's get some tracts written then on Christians or Christ followers. Let's bow in prayer. Let me ask you a question. How many of you can say with an honest heart, I am not just a Christian because I prayed with some soul winner to get him off my back one time, but I did see myself as a child of the devil, and I did ask Christ to save me and became a follower? Raise your hands high. I know that's happened. Now let me ask you a question. How many would agree in the generation we're living in, people need to hear this? Raise your hands. In a day when gospel singers are saying, God made me the number one sex symbol, we need revival. Father, I pray that all of us would stand for this truth, because if we're ashamed of you and of your words in this adulterous generation, you'll be ashamed of us. God, I pray that no more people would leave this church and go where there's more activities, but where the preaching doesn't happen. God, help us to follow the Lamb. Let's all stand, and Pastor will do the